This is our 12th study into the book of Daniel, and I suppose you maybe have noticed continually it gets a little bit more difficult and harder to understand. Last week in our study of the book of Daniel, we discovered the key principle in computing prophetic time. That principle is demonstrated in the discrepancy that we found there in Paul's writing there in the New Testament. Paul dates from the Exodus to when Solomon started to build the temple. He dates it 573 years. That's in Acts chapter 13, verses 18 to 21. 573 years from the Exodus to when Solomon started to build the temple. And the number given in 1 Kings is in 1 Kings chapter 6, verse 1, the number given there as being 480th year after the Exodus from Egypt. And of course, we then saw that that was, in fact, not a chronological number, but was an ordinal number. Here we see an apparent discrepancy of 93 years. The difference between those two is 93 years, and it needs to be some explanation. When you find those kinds of things, there's something wrong with your thinking. You need to go back and look at, dig a little bit deeper, because the Scripture does not have contradictions. The Scripture is very, very accurate. So we found the answer to be two different types of computations between what Paul was doing and what was said there in 1 Kings. One was chronological. Paul's 573 years was therefore, we saw, described as Anno Mundia, or that is according to the world's reckoning of time. That's a chronological amount of time. The other in Kings was Anno Dio, which is God's years of reckoning, and God's years of reckoning is actually, they're the same, but one is a cardinal number and the other is considered to be an ordinal number. And we looked at that, and we found the difference between the two being a term in Scripture that is referred to as loami. And I think most of you probably know what that loami means. We've studied that in itself before. Loami means not my people. When the nation of Israel was sold into servitude by the Lord, for these times here below, he served them into slavery because they did evil. And if you go back and read in Judges, which we did, we looked at all of them last week, we saw that they spent 8 years in Mesopotamia in slavery. 18 years they were slaves to Moab. 20 years in Cana. 7 years in slavery to the Midians, and 40 years to the Philistines. You add that up, and you've got 93 years that they were in slavery, other than Babylon. And the Lord does not count the same as Scripture, because when they were in slavery, he is not considered to be their people. They didn't have the temple, and that's a crucial thing to understand in trying to determine the chronological and the ordinal differences between God's counting and man's counting. We saw last week also that 483 years then to the very day, chronologically. On the 11th of Nisan, Jesus Christ rides into Jerusalem on a colt. It's not a week one way or the other. It is to the very day, 483 years. And so with that, let's pick up with these verses there in Daniel. Open your Bibles to Daniel. We're up to Daniel chapter 9. And we find here some of the most epic verses in all of Scripture. We left off at verse 23. We'll pick up here at verse 24, Daniel 9, 24. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the visions and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again, and the wall even in troublesome times. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood. And unto the end of the war, desolations are determined. One of the first things you have to determine in reading this is, how are we to understand the word week? Is it a literal week of 7 days? Well, no. If so, we have a period of 1 year and 4 months to build the rest and restore the Jerusalem and the temple. That we know is not true. We know that it only took Nehemiah 52 days to build the walls. And something that I didn't mention before that I forgot it for 2 Sundays in a row, I wanted to mention when Nehemiah went to build the walls, he took 43,000 men with him from Babylon to build the walls of the city. And they built the walls in 52 days. And they had to fight while they were doing it. And we've had a lesson on that, I think I referred to as sword and trowel, because they were using a trowel to build the city walls, and they had to fight with their swords while they did it. 52 days. And we know then that it took 49 years before the temple was actually completed, which was in Solomon's fourth year of reign. So we know that this is not a week of days. So days of weeks can't be right. And when Daniel means literal weeks, he adds the word days. That's one of the ways we determine this. If you'll see there in the next chapter, in chapter 10, verse 2, in those days, Daniel was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. Well, that has to be days there that he's speaking of that. It couldn't be years. It has to be days. Mourning for 3 full weeks and fasting for 3 full weeks. We don't see those terms, the difference in English. Like in Hebrew, it's absolutely clear. Also, when we get to week 70 in Revelation, chapter 12, verse 6, it's spoken of in literal days at that point, and it's 1,260 days. And of course, that's addressed here in verse 27. as 1 week, the last week, or 1,260 days, and half of that, of course, is 7 years. In the middle of the week, or 3.5 years, to correct the broken covenant by Antichrist. And we cover this later on again in Revelation chapter 11, is spoken of these weeks and so forth. So we know, and it's well accepted, that this, we are dealing here with these weeks. The 70 weeks are a week of years, and we've got a prophecy here of 490 years in these 70 weeks. I went through that pretty quick, but when we get to Revelation, it's a little bit more clear as the fact that that's 490 years. So here, according to what Daniel is saying here in verse 26, 70 weeks, verse 24, are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression. First of all, determined. The word determined means to cut off, indicating that God has set apart this period of time to accomplish his purpose for the people in the city. And then the term there, to finish the transgression. To finish means to restrain or shut up the transgression. What transgression is that? Well, if you remember back in chapter 8, go back to chapter 8, one verse in particular, verse 23, and in the latter times of their kingdom, when the transgressors are come to full, a king of fierce countenance and understanding dark sentences shall stand up. That's the little horn that we've talked about before. So, to finish or restrain or shut up the transgression that was talked about in Daniel's earlier prophecy. The day is fixed when that shall happen. Do I know which day it is? No. We have a little bit later on, we'll be looking at a chart that I have prepared that I think gives us some ideas about when that might be. But it will be as accurate as the day, the 11th of Niacin, when Christ rode into Jerusalem, prophesied 400 and some years prior to the very day. Then Daniel says, to make an end of sins. How can you make an end of sin? Well, sin is always negative. And he's speaking about there the sin of Israel that will end. As a nation, they will accept him. Now, we've looked at the word sin, and the word sin, if you will remember, anything that is not of faith, in other words, those that don't believe or accept, that is typically the main meaning of sin, is unbelief. Most of the things that we talk about being sin are called works of the flesh. So here he can make an end of sin because the nation of Israel will all believe. And that's the hurdle that they have to come to for Messiah to come. They have to, as a nation, and at that point it will be very small, probably his remnant, which will be have the DNA of Abraham more than likely. They come into a position of belief as a nation because it's all of them. It's all of Abraham's lineage. Where are they? I don't know. They're probably scattered all over the place in the Middle East. But God knows who they are, where they are, and they're going to come into a into belief as a nation. Is it going to be 12? Is it going to be 1,200? I don't know. But whatever it is, that's the hurdle that eventually is covered over, jumped over, in order for this prophecy to move forward. As a nation, they will accept him. Then it says reconciliation for iniquity means atonement. This prophecy includes, in this 70 week, it includes the cross, because it includes Christ's ride into Messiah on the 11th of Nisan, and he, of course, is crucified at that time. So the 70 weeks cover the crucifixion as well. Then he says, Daniel says, everlasting righteousness, and to bring in everlasting righteousness. Isaiah in chapter 1 tells us that Jerusalem will be called the city of righteousness. And that is that a king shall reign. And we find that in Isaiah as well, chapter 32, verse 1. In Isaiah chapter 42, verse 1, he will not rest or hold his peace until righteousness goes forth as brightness from Jerusalem. So that's Christ's return to this city during the millennial time. Then Daniel says to seal up the vision and prophecy. What does he mean by sealing up the vision and prophecy? I don't know that I can say for sure, but probably means that it will be seen how true and how accurate 6,000 years of prophecy has been. And we can see that now already. Already we can see things that were said and prophesied a couple thousand years prior to the actual event itself. So here in this prophecy is going to be seal up the vision. In other words, make it absolutely clear as to what the scripture has been. And then, of course, it says to anoint the Most High or the Most Holy. By the way, that's never used of a person, only of things dedicated to God. And here, that probably is referring to the temple being cleansed or spoken of back in chapter 8, when we studied chapter 8 about the temple being spoken of as holy. These six terms cover the restoration that is to take place as a whole over these 490 years. Then we read in verse 27, and he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And that's referred to in the ordinal part of 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The question then is, why did the angel break this prophecy down into 7 weeks, 62 weeks, and one? Why did he not use 490 years? Why didn't he use 49, 483, and 1 week of 7 years? I think it's because, as we learned last week about in our lesson, there are ordinal numbers and there are cardinal numbers. Let me just say again, ordinal numbers are numbers where there's considered to be more than what's stated. For example, if I say in the fourth year of Nebuchadnezzar's reign. That indicates that that was the fourth year, but there's other years to come. If I say 480th year, that indicates there's more. So ordinal numbers are stated in 1st, 2nd, 3rd, 4th, 5th, 250th, 950th, whatever. Those are ordinal numbers. Cardinal numbers are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and so forth. So here, the difference that we found between what Paul gave and what God says are the difference between ordinal and cardinal numbers. Here, the weeks are ordinal numbers which allow for more. The weeks are God's time, anno Dio, and not chronological numbers. They only count when Israel is in his good graces and have the temple. God's only counting when his people are considered to be his people and not Loami. This is difficult stuff. And I've put together a chart to try to help understand it. And I hope I can get it up here on the calendar What you see here on the screen is two different lines. The top line is the traditional way of thinking, and the bottom line is what I describe as the Berean way. And the Berean way is taking into consideration ordinal and cardinal numbers. If you notice on the top line, over here to begin with, 7 times 7 equals 49 years. That's 7 weeks of 7 years. And it started with Nehemiah going forth to build the temple at 454 BC. The temple was not dedicated until 405 BC in Solomon's fourth year. Actually, it was completed in the third year. So in counting time, you don't count part of the king's time, you count his whole years. So it was actually in the third year of Solomon that the temple was actually completed. So in the traditional way of counting these 70 weeks or 490 years, they count the first 7 years as 49 years. Then they use 62 weeks, which is 483 years, and that takes us to the cross, and that's exactly on Nisan, the 11th day, that Christ rides the colt into Jerusalem, exactly. Then in a traditional way, they don't count the Acts period of weeks, because they've used up all of the 68 weeks during this period of time right here. All 68 weeks have been used up, and so they have 1 week left, which is the week of tribulation, 1 7-year period of time, and that coordinates with the book of Revelation. Now, that's true. There's only 1 week of tribulation, and we'll find it down here on the other line. There's a week of tribulation at the end. But there's more to the story than just that. So compare then to the Berean way of looking at this. What makes the difference, the big difference? See here the first period of time. The first 49 years, they're still captive. The nation is still captive. They're slaves in Babylon. Nehemiah has permission to go down and build the temple or build the walls. He built first. But it takes 49 years before that temple is completed, and it's only when the nation has the temple that they are considered to be his people. All this first 49 years, they're lo ami, and so you can't count those weeks. Once the temple is had, then you have 62 years that are, or 62 weeks that are ordinal years, 434 years, up to the cross. Christ still rides in at the same time. But then here's the next main difference. During the Acts period, after Christ was crucified, during that period of time, the gospel was still being preached. Paul, Peter were out proclaiming the gospel. Messiah's second coming would have come had the nation repented as a nation, but they didn't. They would not. They were considered to be a stiff-necked people. And so we've read it many times at the end of the Acts period, they became, as the diagonal lines show here, not my people again. And at that time, only 67 weeks of the prophecy, of Daniel's prophecy, had been used up. 62 from the dedication to the temple up to the cross. During the Acts period is 5/7. And so at that point, only 67 weeks of the prophecy had been used. And so at the end, instead of there just being 1 week of tribulation, there's 3 weeks of 21 years. Now, at some point, they have to have the temple. And I think I told you, I found out that these guys down in southern Indiana were making stones for the temple. And they told me that, there's materials being stored all over the world for the temple. And so at some point, right here on the chart, right there, at some point, they will probably begin to build the temple. There's some scholars that are greater than me that think that that will be probably around 2064 AD, that will begin to happen. And during that period, and one of the reasons that that has to be is because, if you remember, we've studied that the abomination, the image of the abomination of desolation is going to be set up in the temple. They've got to have a temple. This prophecy can't go until there's a temple. And once that temple is built, then this Antichrist and this abomination, this image is going to be set up in that temple. And finally, then, we're going to reach the last 7 years of prophecy with regard to Daniel, which is the tribulation. And, of course, it shows up here in the traditional place. It's the same. So it'd be the same time frame, but what makes the difference here is you can't count the first 49 years, and you have to count the Acts period, and then there's this period in here where they are not his people, and this is where we are today. The nation of Israel is lo ami, not his people. And if you go into this a little bit further, you probably can understand that this is a 2,000-year period of time. We won't get into that. But anyway, if you do, then you kind of begin to realize where this 2064 AD comes, when they're probably going to begin to build the temple. I hope that gives you a little bit better understanding of what we've been looking at. It is amazing to me, particularly with the accuracy that the scripture says back here, from the going forth to build the temple, Christ rides into Jerusalem on the very day that that prophecy was made. These verses refer to what we typically do not see and have not seen is the wrath of God. I wish I could live to see it, but I don't think I'll live to see it. But I don't think it's that far away either. And so with these three verses, suddenly the prophecy of Daniel ends. Notice verse 26, Jesus was cut off, not for himself. He was cut off not because of anything that he did. He was cut off and crucified by his own people. They rejected him. And at the end of the Acts period, they went into Loami, and they've been there ever since. But we're coming up here shortly on the Easter season. And I'm thankful that during this time of year, we're celebrating, instead of a throne at that time, he had what? He had a cross. Instead of a crown, what do you have? Thorns. He didn't have diadems. He was reputed. He didn't have a kingdom. Instead of a kingdom, he had a tomb. Instead of being defeated, he had victory. He came out of the grave. Instead of wrath, he had love for us. Instead of judgment, he had mercy. Instead of weakness, he had power. Instead of death, resurrection. And we know future because of Daniel's prophecy. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your love for us. We're thankful for the written word, that we can have a better understanding of your purpose and plan for the ages. We're thankful that you are mindful of us, that we can have a peace that passes understanding as a result of what you have left for us in our understanding. I continue to pray that we may all grow in the grace and the knowledge of you through this written word. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.